Thank you very much and welcome to my talk. Auch noch, I should switch on the microphone, like I was told. So, okay, I guess that works.
Yeah.
So, what I want to do is the following thing. I want to study tensor perturbations for gravity waves in brain world cosmology, and there's the related issue if it is possible to observe signatures of extra dimensions in the CMB, for example. And actually, this is related to what is called the dynamical Casimir effect, which is the generation of photons out of vacuum fluctuations of the quantized electromagnetic field in dynamical cavities. And so what I will do is I will apply these mathematical methods to these brain worlds. And so I will show you explicitly that the five-dimensional graviton reduces to the four-dimensional one in the late time approximations of such brain worlds. And then at the end, in the second part of my talk, I will study a toy model of colliding brains to show you some basic effects. And actually, this second part is really worked in progress. But I should warn you that it might be a rather technical one, so actually I do not mention direct things to observations. And the intention is to trigger some discussions, for example. Now, this the precise precise measurement of the CMB anisotropies, they have confirmed the so-called standard cosmological model. So we know that the energy density is dominated by dark energy and so on. And I don't have to go into the details here, I guess. And in addition, we have the paradigm of inflation, during which small initial fluctuations have been generated, and this actually is the source of the structure which we observe today in the universe. But on the theoretical side, there are still lots of open questions. So for example, we don't know what is this dark matter, what is this dark energy, and so on. And also, we don't know what is the Das ist jetzt auch in Lation. And also, how can one resolve the big bang singularity of classical general relativity? And in order to answer these or some of these questions, we need a theory of quantum gravity, which unifies all fundamental interactions, so the gauge interactions and gravity. And I mean, nowadays, the most promising candidate for such a theory is string theory, and which quasi manifests itself only at very, very well-known high energies of the order of the Planck scale, and it predicts that these space time is 10 dimensional. And in string theory, particles or the matter fields, they are described by excitations of quasi open strings, something like this here, while gravity is described by closed string loops. And Polshinsky in 95, he discovered so-called DP brains, which are P plus one dimensional sub-manifolds on which these open strings have to end. And this had led to the basic idea of brain worlds, because it gives you a way to confine the standard model, so these four open strings, to a sub-manifold and gravity can also probe the extra dimension. So in the picture, the universe is described as a three-dimensional hypersurface, and all the standard model feels they are confined to this surface, and only gravity is allowed to also propagate into the extra dimension. And so that means that the whole space-time can be probed only by gravity, but not by standard model fields, because they are confined to this brain. And I mean, that will be theory with more spatial dimensions predicts a deviation from Newton's law on small scales. And until today, the validity of Newton's law has been tested only down to scales of 0.1 millimeter. It means, in principle, these extra dimensions can be as large as 0.1 millimeter. And this can actually be used to address what is called the Bonon hierarchy. problem, but I don't want to go into Buddhism. And in the last years, particularly the so-called Randers Zentrum Brennwert, wo nun models, they have attracted a lot of attention, and these are the models I want to talk about. But let me note that these will not be first brainworks. They are already known since the beginning of the early 80s in the context of domain walls. So what I want to consider is this one, this Randers-Zentrum geometry, which is that you have a five-dimensional anti-Sitter background, which means that it has a negative cosmological constant, yeah, which is related to the curvature radius of anti-Sitter by this equation, volume here. And so we have actually what is called the dwarf factor, which leads to a localization of gravity close to these brains. So what you have is you have this extra dimension, and then you have the Minkowski brain. And in this Randers-Zentrum model 1, they have two such brains, which means that the extra dimension is finite. And in the Randers-Zentrum model 2, they have only one brain, and the extra dimension is actually infinite. Okay, now let me make one remark. Namely, when you write down the full five-dimensional Einstein equations, then these are singular at the position of the brain, because you have a delta function which confines the matter to this surface. Okay, because all the standard model is confined to this brain, and so you need a delta function to do this in the Einstein equation. But if you integrate this Einstein equation over the extra dimension, then you obtain what is called the Israel double junction conditions. There are two of them. The first one just says that the induced metric on the brain is continuous, and the second one links the extrinsic curvature of this hypersurface and the brain energy momentum tensor. And actually, this one replaces, so to say, the four-dimensional Einstein equation. Now, what is brainwork cosmology? In brainwork cosmology, this surface is moving in the extra dimension. Okay. And And then you see that the induced metric on the surface is a Friedman-Robertson-Walker volumetric, where the scale factor of the universe which we observe is related to the position of the brain in the extra dimension by this relation. So that means if the brain moves into this direction, the universe extends, and if it is moving in this other direction, the universe contracts. And so in these models, the expansion of the universe is mimicked by the motion of the brain in the extra dimension. Okay? And the dynamics of the scale factor is then described by what is called the modified Friedman equation. So if you consider an homogeneous and isotropic energy momentum tensor on the brain plus brain tension, then you find the modified Friedman equation, which has a term which goes like energy density squared, which is the correction to the usual Friedman equation. And this correction is important at very high energies only. So you do not modify the cosmology of the universe which we observe today. So at low energies, that means if the energy density is much, much smaller than the brain tension, one recovers the usual Friedman equation by at high energies, that means when the energy density is of the order of or larger than the brain tension, the expansion law is different. For example, if the brain tension is given by the electroweak scale, then nucleosynthesis is not affected at all. So this is a contribution which is only important at very, very high energies. And however, perturbations like tensor perturbations could carry effects you don't know about the extra dimension. And then, in principle, these effects might be observable in the CMB or in the large scale distribution of matter. And I mean, by the way, if you have a question, please interrupt me directly.
I have a couple of questions. So now you're considering the case where it's Randall-Sundrum 1. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Randall-Sundrum 2?
Yeah, with only one brain.
With only one brain, yeah. Okay. Exactly. And the other question is, can you remind me, so the constraint on lambda, lambda is related to the ABS radius in the vault.
Exactly.
And there's a constraint on supernova cooling.
Actually, this is not quite correct. This is actually zero, because you exactly yeah. is actually zero.
So if you make that tuning, then the little lambda is related to the ADS radius.
It is also related to the ADS radius. Yeah. I do have it somewhere. I have it some couple of equations somewhere here. This is now my variable lambda is here what is called tau, the brain tension. And I didn't put, here's the relation to the board radius. And by fine tuning this relation to the brain tension, just with the radius of until the sitter, you get the effective zero cosmological constant on the brain, which then ensures that you induce geometry of on the radius me costing. That's the prediction. Where this is the four dimensional plan mass. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't mean to, can you go back to that slide?
Yeah.
I guess my question was, so you have some relation there that if the, yeah, there's a relation between the ADS radius and the tension on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, yeah, and lower you say L less than 0.1 millimeter.
That is the constraint from
gravity.
From, yeah, exactly.
But I thought it was a stronger constraint coming from supernova, the rate of cooling of supernova.
That might be, I'm actually not an expert on that, but that might be the.
Yes. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
But I guess it might be 10.
Micron or less than.
Maybe. But then still, I mean, it's of the order then, I mean. You don't care, micron is a bit further.
I don't need to be genetic, but I'm just, in case you're, what you, because later you're going to discover some effects that are accessible in the perturbation spectrum. So I guess the precise constraint on little L is a bit sadder.
Yeah. Okay. So that was more or less the introduction. A very long introduction, I guess. But now I want to study these tensor perturbations in this quasi background of moving brain. So what you do is you perturb linearly the 5-dimensional anti-sitter matrix, allowing for tensor perturbations, okay, in the usual way. And then you decompose these tensor perturbations in spatial Fourier modes, which means you integrate out the directions parallel to the brain.
These are 5-dimensional tensors?
Yeah. But you perturb only the slices orthonormal to the extra dimension.
So, okay, so only on the brain.
So to say, only on the brain, exactly. I mean, not only on the brain, but on these orthonormal slices in the extra dimension. This you perturb. In the normal way. But these are really these tensor perturbations built of the full 5-dimensional space time.
Right. And those are the only, on the brain, you will only see those two perturbations, and the other three will not appear as tensors on the brain. So that they are.
What do you mean with the.
I mean, in 5 dimensions,
yeah,
you have more polarizations, right?
Yeah, here I want to consider only two polarizations, just the transverse and the.
Which is what you have.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I forget how it decomposes the 5 polarizations, they decompose into the.
It's
one and then a vector.
Yeah. And here I have considered only this one verb, this one tensor part. So I do not consider this tensor, this vector and this scalar perturbations. And when we then insert this expansion into the per Einstein equations, you find that the amplitude of these tensor perturbations for a particular polarization satisfies the Klein-Born equation in anti de Sitter, okay, where this k squared is just the momentum parallel to this frame. And in addition to this Klein-Gordon equation, you have also a boundary condition for these amplitudes at the position of the brain. Okay? This, what I called before, this second junction condition implies this boundary condition for these amplitudes at the position of this brain, where this is the velocity of this brain in the extra dimension, which is given by this equation here. And this is just the derivative with respect to time, and this with respect to the extra dimension. And the important point is, yeah, that this boundary condition is time dependent, because the brain moves in the extra dimension. So you have a time dependent boundary condition for this amplitude. And by setting this equal to zero, I have simplified everything, because normally you would have other terms here accounting for the anisotropic stress perturbations on the brain. But so far this is too complicated, so I just take this one. That's the simple thing what you can now do. And in addition to make things even more simpler, I restrict myself to delay time and to the low energy rate limit, which means that is much larger than the curvature, which means that the velocity of the brain is much smaller than the speed of light. Then you can neglect this term, and this boundary condition reduces to a time-dependent Neumann one at the position of this brain. So the time evolution of tensor perturbations in moving brain waves is described by a Klein-Gordon equation plus a time-dependent boundary condition. And that's the important thing, because you know from quantum field theory that external fields, time-dependent external fields, can lead to particle creation from vacuum, like cosmological particle creation or the oscillating inflaton after an inflation which leads to parametric resonance and so on. But also time-dependent boundary conditions are nothing else than sharp classical background fields. Okay. And also they can yield particle creation from vacuum. In quantum electrodynamics, for example, there's this what is called the dynamical Casimir effect, which is the creation of real photons out of the vacuum fluctuations of the quantized and electromagnetic field in dynamical cavities. So you have a cavity, you have your vacuum fluctuations, and you change the distance, and by that you create real photons out of the vacuum fluctuations. And as you will see on the next slide, because of the time-dependent boundary conditions in such scenarios, you have a coupling between different quantum modes. And that makes this scenario a bit more complicated than, for example, simple cosmological particle creation. And what I have done is I have studied numerically these processes for the electromagnetic field. But in Brainworks, there we have exactly a similar situation. We have a field equation for the tensor perturbations and a time-dependent boundary condition. And if we quantize that means that then we have gravitons, and due to the time-dependent, due to the motion of the brain in the extra dimension, by essentially the same mechanism, you expect to create gravitons from these vacuum fluctuations. And what we are doing is we are applying these methods which have been used to study the electromagnetic field in dynamical cavities to brain waves. And let me therefore very briefly show you how it actually works. So the mathematical problem is the following. So you have some time-dependent region, and inside this region you have some wave equation and boundary condition at the boundary of this time-dependent region. Okay? And what you can do is you can expand your field in canonical variables and eigen functions of the Laplace operator, but these eigenfunctions, they are now explicitly time dependent because they have to satisfy the boundary condition at any moment in time. And so these eigenfunctions are simply are explicitly time dependent. And because you can show that this is a Sturm-Liouville problem, and any time this set is orthonormal and complete, and so you can expand your field like that. But in the action, for example, you have terms like the time derivative of this field square. And this then introduces your mode couplings, which are described by this coupling matrix, which is just the integration over this time-dependent region, and then the time derivative of such a function times such a function corresponding to another frequency. Okay. And of course, if the boundary does not move, then this is of course zero, and we have no mode couplings. So the equation of motion for your canonical variables look then like this. So you do not have only an equation for a harmonic oscillator with time-dependent frequency, but you have these couplings which couple different field modes, okay? And the corresponding Hamiltonian is just given. Here it's this collection of oscillators with time-dependent frequency, but then you have these couplings, which couple Q with the momentum corresponding to another frequency. And then quantum optics, this is called the acceleration, which is a pure boundary effect. And this is called the squeezing effect. And that means that the dynamics of the boundary yields time-dependent mode couplings. And therefore, in the quantum description, then you have two sources of particle creation from vacuum. This time-dependent frequency and the time-dependent coupling. And actually, I will show you soon that for brain birds, these time-dependent mode couplings are actually much more important than the time-dependent frequency. I hope this is clear, this what I just explained you so far. Now let me skip this. Let me just mention that when you have well-defined asymptotic states for your motion, then you can define the notion of vacuum state and of particles without ambiguity. Okay, and then you can introduce an initial vacuum state and the final vacuum state, so before the motion of your boundary and after the motion, and you can link these two states by a Vogel-Liouville transformation, and then the number of created particles or then of created gravitons is given by this square of this Vogel-Liouville coefficient B. And you can solve this problem fully numerically. So we have a formalism to do that. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let me just note that when you have this particle number, you can reconstruct extract interesting quantities, for example, like the energy density, which in brain world cosmology then scales like 1 to the scale factor 4, because we are working with co-moving frequency and momentum, and you can also reconstruct the power spectrum entirely from this particle number, which you know how to calculate numerically. Now let me come back to actually brain worlds. What I want to consider now is I take this Randall-Sander model 2, you are with just one brain, but I introduce what I call a regulator brain to do numerics, to make the system discrete. And then I consider these tensor perturbations, and as I said before, I'm restricting myself to late times. That means that the velocity of brain, which is moving here, is small compared to the speed of light, and therefore I have just this Neumann boundary condition. And then you can extend your tensor perturbation within such an instantaneous basis, which is given by Bessel functions. So you have one part which does not depend, which has not momentum in the extra dimension, which is the four-dimensional graviton. Then you have this tower of Kaluza-Klein waves. These are these tensor perturbations which have also a momentum in the extra dimensions, and on the brain they appear as massive four-dimensional gravitons. And okay, so the frequency of one mode is then just the momentum corresponding to the directions parallel to the brain, and these Kaluza-Klein masses, which depend on time, because the distance between these two brains is time dependent. Now, don't look at all at this. I just want to say that you can now calculate any, every couplings exactly in terms of these special function and so on. You have, for example, that you know the evolution of the zero mode exactly. The Kaluza-Klein modes are just these Bessel functions and so on. And the Kaluza-Klein masses are determined by the solutions to this equation of Bessel functions, which you have to solve numerically, because you have no problem. You cannot solve this analytically. But the important point is that you know these couplings exactly, okay? And with this, we can investigate the evolution of tensor perturbations for any scenario of a moving brain, provided that the velocity stays small compared to the speed of light. And one thing you can do is the following. Many people study the evolution of these tensor perturbations in this single brain model only numerically by solving the Klein-Gordon equation directly with a time-dependent boundary. Now, and they found that what they obtained looks like four-dimensional gravity. So when you look at the amplitude, it'd be as, what you would expect from normal four-dimensional gravity. So and with this formalism which I have shown you, we can actually prove this analytically. Because if we send the regulator of brain to infinity, such that we get back to the Randall-Solomon model 2 with only one brain, where I introduce a small epsilon, which is the position of the moving brain divided by the regulator brain position, which goes to 0 if the regulator brain goes to infinity, then you find that the only coupling matrix which does not vanish is the 0, 0, 1, which is which, so to say, comes from the fact that the zero mode itself, even if it does not depend on the extra dimension, it has to satisfy the boundary condition at any position of the ray. This is the reason for this M0, 0, and this is proportional to the Wollman-Hubble parameter. And all the other couplings, so the coupling of the Kaluza-Klein modes to the zero mode and of the Kaluza-Klein modes to each other, they vanish in this whole limit. And then you find that the system of second order differential equation reduces to this one for the zero mode, or if you go back to the amplitude of the tensor perturbation, you get back the usual equation for four-dimensional gravity waves. And that explicitly proves that at late times that you don't see any effect of these extra dimensions on how gravity waves propagate in these models. And let me note that people claim that this friction comes from the fact that by the motion of the brain, you also excite Kaluza-Klein modes, and these Kaluza-Klein modes damp the evolution of the zero mode. But here we see, no, that's not the case. You do not excite Kaluza-Klein modes. The reason for this is just the coupling of the zero mode to the motion of the boundary. And that's it. So that's a pure, so to say, you can interpret this friction as a pure boundary effect, because the zero mode has to satisfy this boundary condition. Okay, and actually, how much time do I actually have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay, that's great. Okay, so we have any questions to this first part? Maybe it was a bit fast at some points. I just want to emphasize that by using this formalism known from quantum electrodynamics, you get another viewpoint on the evolution of these tensor perturbations, because you can directly handle the couplings of the Kaluza-Klein modes and so on. And this is the advantage of this whole method. And so far it was completely classical. And now in the remaining 10 minutes, I would maybe show you a toy model where you can generate kind of cycline modes only due to the coupling to the zero mode.
Just the main question, so where
does
the non-relativistic limit play a role in your calculation? Will it be much less than 1?
In the boundary condition.
And that's because it really simplifies.
Exactly, because normally the boundary condition is the velocity dt minus dy applied at the position of the brain is equal to 0. And this whole formalism is based on the fact that you can introduce a Sturm-Liouville problem at any moment in time. And if such a thing, you cannot do this. But you can do a transformation where you connect this boundary condition to Neumann one, and then you can do the same, and this is a bit more than Wolf, but this is work in progress. So then you can also study this case, which is of course much more interesting, because you can study inflation. So where you expect that you might get huge effects from these Kaluza-Klein particles. But here, this is the only restriction that if this is smart, I can let this go. And that's it. This is the only thing here so far. So, for example, okay, that takes too much time, maybe later. Okay, so let me now discuss the following toy model. We consider now two brains where this brain is moving radiation dominated into this direction and then bounces back. So the scale factor on the brain well, looks like this, which translates into a motion of the brain in the x dimension of this form here. So the advantage of this is that you have well defined in and out vacuum states, so you can introduce the particle concept without ambiguity, because the coupling is vanished for t plus and minus infinity, and so yeah, you can introduce proper vacuum states and so on. And here would like to see this as a toy mod to study principal effects, but it might have possible interesting implications for equilibrium logic scenarios where you have these bouncing rates. But okay. And what we are doing is we are studying this problem fully numerically with the method which I have briefly outlined before. And let me show you some results. Here I plot now this expectation value, so the number of produced gravitons, but to be more precise, the number of final state gravitons which are contained in the initial vacuum state. This is what you normally define as the number of created particles, and here some integration time points. So this is not interesting. Here is the point where the brilliant quasi bounds. And as you expect, there you have particle creation. So you have the zero mode here, and then it more or less jumps, and then stays again constant. And also the Kaluza-Klein modes, they do this, but the amplitude is much, much suppressed. And what I want to say is that because we know the couplings exactly, we can play in the numerical simulations and we can switch off certain couplings and see how they influence the result. And what you observe is that the zero mode is not affected by the Kaluza-Klein at all. That means it decouples also in this case completely from the Kaluza-Klein modes. So you get exactly the same for the zero mode and you evolve the zero mode alone only. And in addition, you find that these Kaluza-Klein modes, they do practically not couple to each other. So if you switch off the couplings, except the coupling of the zero mode to the Kaluza-Klein modes, then you get exactly the same. So you find that the zero mode acts as a source for the creation of Kaluza-Klein modes. And it's interesting that this one can understand even analytically. Because we have no coupling of the zero mode to the Kaluza-Klein modes, one can show that the evolution of the zero mode, so of the 4D graviton, is effectively this, right, by an oscillator equation, where this potential is just a delta function at the bounds. This is, so to say, where the bounds takes place. And this parameter is the maximal velocity of the brain at the bounds. And then, by a simple scattering theory, you find that on sub-horizon scales, the particle number is just the maximal velocity divided by k squared. So these points are the numerical simulations for different volume wave numbers, and here the particle numbers on sub-horizon scales. The particle number goes like k to the actually more minus 2, and on super-horizon scales it is constant. And that implies that the power spectrum on sub-horizon scales is actually, I made a mistake here. So it's actually scale invariant, but on super horizon scales it's blue. And this is what you know from periodic models. They also get a blue spectrum of these perturbations. And for the Kaluza-Klein mode, it turns out that you can express the particle number as an absolute value of this quantity, which I call S, which is the Fourier transformation of some source. And this source is just the evolution of this zero mode, these epsilons, and the coupling matrix, which couples the Kaluza-Klein modes to the zero mode. So in that sense, the evolution of the zero mode is a source for the excitation of Kaluza-Klein modes. If there's no coupling, if there would be no coupling of the zero mode to the Kaluza-Klein modes, you would not have any particle creation. And so here, in this model, you create Kaluza-Klein modes, so massive gravitons, due to the motion of the zero mode. And okay, last but not least, also this you can describe analytically. So in certain cases where the Kaluza-Klein mass satisfies certain relations, you can actually derive analytical solutions for this Fourier transformation of the source, which is given in terms of exponential integrals. So this solid, so this is now the spectrum for different k modes. Here's the number of created Kaluza-Klein particles as a function of the Kaluza-Klein mass. And the solid line is the analytical prediction. And as long as it is in the range of validity of this relation, it perfectly describes the numerical result. So we really understand what is going on. And what you can also find is that if in the limit of Kaluza-Klein mass goes to infinity, the particle number for a fixed k mode decreases like 1 over the fifth power of the Kaluza-Klein mass, which means that the energy density of these massive gravitons which you generate is finite. So, and even if you have this bounds, you generate a finite energy density of these Kaluza-Klein modes. And to put this into observational context, this is what we are doing. So to get some limits on, for example, the curvature of waves and so on. But I would like to see it more as a toy mod to study basic effects. And this observation that this zero mode excites Kaluza-Klein modes, that might be generically true. And for example, it might be important for equivalent models. So let me shortly summarize. Let me briefly summarize. We have the formalism to study numerically as well as analytically the evolution of tensor perturbations in moving brain worlds. And with the advantage that we can keep track of the intermodal couplings. And actually, we can also apply the same thing to study vector perturbations, which is work that is in progress. And as one main result, which is very nice in my opinion, is that we have shown that this 5D tensor perturbation equation that uses to the four-dimensional mode at low energies, so with no excitation of Kaluza-Klein modes at late times, so it does not spoil what you observe today in the universe, which is nice for people believing in these world models. Then I have shown this toy model of these bouncing brains, which is in progress. And then, as I have already mentioned, you can actually practically use the same formalism to study also the high energy regime. So, for example, framework in inflation and so on. And this is also work which is in progress, and so it's only a bit. Numerically a bit more in bulk. And then of course the final goal would be to get some observable consequences. And so yeah, thanks for your time and for your attention.
So if I neglect the velocity of the brain, that's equivalent to letting the ADS radius go to infinity for a fixed expansion rate on the brain.
No, it's the velocity is at end stage. This is the one So what I say is that this here has to be small. This is the time approximation that you have the parameter. It's much larger than the scale given by the rates. So this is the approximation, which does not hold at very early times.
So I guess I'm confused about something. You did have this regulator brain, and that sets a KK scale by the distance between your brains.
Exactly.
And then if this brain is very far apart, then there's the second KK scale, which is set by the ADS radius, so to speak. If that brain is very, very far, I just see ADS.
Exactly.
So your limit is that the regulator brain is much, much more farther in.
This regulator brain is much, much further. It's much, much larger.
So all the KK discussion all pertaining to the usual Randall syndrome 2 KK tau.
But in these bouncing, then you have not, in principle, you have not this restriction, because then it's not a regulator brain anymore, it's then not a kind of real brain, it's just plant brain, so the other brain. But as I said, you can also solve this. People have done it for the electromagnetic here, because it's actually interesting that you get exactly the same boundary condition for a particular polarization of the electromagnetic field. You get exactly the same, so it's one correspondence between these electromagnetic field in these dielectrical cavities and these tensor perturbations in brain cosmology, which is kind of interesting.
So you had one slide. So I guess I'm not quite sure. So in the latter part, when you had these two brains coming in, still you're working in an approximation where, so in the limit where V is very small, in other words, this is precisely the limit where 4D theory is an excellent approximation,
exactly,
as you showed, right?
Exactly.
And in fact, as I let V go to zero, in fact, I kill off any 5D effect.
Exactly.
So in your last part of the story where the brains were coming in and sort of bouncing off, in that case, it must be that since you're all still working in this small mm-hmm. approximation, are all your effects coming in because of the, so the KK modes you're talking about in that case, are they because of the presence of the second brain? Or?
Because of the bounce.
Yeah.
That comes in because of the bounce. The zero mode feels this potential, but of course you only have it with this two brains.
That's right. So suppose the bulk was not ADS. Suppose it's just two brains coming in.
That's
you
interesting
would
point.
Get the same answer.
That's actually a very interesting point. And no, you wouldn't get the same answer. Because if the extra dimension would be flat, you would have also the other one couplings of the Kaluza Klein modes to each other. The basic fact that the important coupling is only the zero mode to the Kaluza Klein modes is related to the fact that you're in anti-decision, that you have this. If it is flat, the situation is different. Then you have some coupling of Kaluza Klein modes to each other, you cannot make like. So that really depends on the fact that you're in ADS, not in the system space. With a flat explanation, it would be different.
So what about if you're moving in ADS Schwarzschild?
Many people studying this nowadays, they do always solve the golden equation directly on the time-dependent grid, with this method, which relies on this mode expansion, you can get these new insights that you say, well, that you know which modes cover to each other in which way. And that's the advantage here. But you have restrictions like you need to have, you have to be able to define this mode and deal with the problem that you can do, mode extensions. But then you have this, then you get, that's nice. What I did is analytical research. But you can really prove that you don't excite Kaluza-Klein modes, and this friction is a pure boundary effect. And yeah, that's what I'm so excited about, this thing that you can really see where things are. Things come from sources. But this is also, this is not on which is a problem. Which is
no questions?
I mean, I'm here so we can discuss more.